Today, we celebrate the ascension of the Lord Jesus into heaven, meaning the real historical fact that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem and was crucified and rose from the dead in Jerusalem, at the end of 40 days after the resurrection, physically rose up in his body, up into the air, and went up into the sky, into heaven. It really happened. But it's more than an historic fact. It didn't just happen and then, well, it's over. Rather, it happened 2,000 years ago in time, but in a certain sense, it continues to happen today in the sense that Jesus is still in heaven, in his body, seated on his throne next to God the Father, ruling over the universe. Now, all this, of course, is hard to understand. How did Jesus, in effect, fly up to heaven in his body? And where is heaven? Is it up there? And is it a physical place? And is there a physical throne? In a certain sense, it must be physical because somehow, you know, his body's physically there. Even so, we don't really understand how all this happens. But the thing is, it's not terribly important whether or not we understand how, as long as Jesus understands how. What is important for us to understand a little bit better, though, is why. Why is this so? Now, with God, we never understand every reason why he does what he does. There are so many mysteries, divine truths we know about and understand somewhat because Jesus has told us about them. But at the same time, these are things we can never fully understand because they're so profound, so complicated. After all, they come from the mind and the life of God, not of man. This is the way with the mystery of the ascension. It has so many meanings, ramifications, most of which we will only begin to scratch the surface of in understanding. But let's try to today, a little bit. To begin with, put very simply, Jesus ascended into heaven because that's where he belonged. Remember how the Gospels tell us that God the Father, it says, sent his only Son into the world. And remember that Jesus said over and over again that he had come down from heaven. God the Son had lived in heaven from even before time. That's where he's from. The unusual thing was that he was on earth at all. It was a great blessing for us to have him for those 33 or so years. But he came down to redeem us, and when he accomplished that, it was time to return to his Father. Again, it's fitting because that's where he's from and where he belongs. But it is also fitting because from there he can rule over the whole universe, all creation, not sitting at a campfire in Judea ruling over 12 apostles, or even in a huge stadium ruling over 100,000 people, but in heaven looking over all of us, guiding and protecting all of us, and being worshipped and adored by all the angels and saints and all believers. And that leads us to another reason for the ascension. God the Son returns to heaven with his human nature. As amazing as it is that God came down to earth, more amazing still is that he came down to earth and became one of us. God the Son became a man, keeping his divinity but uniting it to his humanity. The creator of all things became one of his creatures. God entered into the nitty-gritty of every part of everyday human life, including sin, ours, not his own. This, of course, is the mystery of the incarnation and what we sometimes call the hypostatic union, that God the Son united his divine nature to a human nature so that he was one person with two natures, completely God, but also completely man. Again, we don't totally understand that, but what we do understand is awesome and beautiful. And now his divinity has taken his humanity into heaven, where it is truly sitting next to, or according to Ephesians, standing in front of God the Father. Now we can say that a man truly sits on the throne of God, reigning over the universe, heaven and earth. He is God, but he's also man. Think of that. He's the God who created everything out of nothing, but now he returns to heaven also as man. And not just a man, which he is, of course, but in the sense also as man or mankind, as he represents all of us, showing us that we, mankind, all and each of us, are created with this capacity to be like God and to share in his very divinity. Not grasping at being equal or replacing God like Adam and Eve tried to. Not opposing God, but obeying God. Not rivaling God, but loving God. Not trying to seize God's power, but trying to accept his free gift of life. Not to be above or against him, but to be one with him. And so Jesus, as the eternal creator, God the Son, and as the crucified and risen man, sits next to God, his Father, forever. And there he is, as the scripture says today, our mediator. Or as the letter to the Hebrews calls him, he is our priest. And there, Hebrews tells us, Jesus always lives to intercede for us before our Father. Not only as the Son of God, but also as one of us, a Son of Man, who understands not only understands us as the Creator understands his creation, but as a Creator who lived the life of one of his creatures. And so Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews goes on to say, we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And so he pleads for us as God the Father's only begotten Son, but also as one of us. And the Father looks at Jesus standing before him, and then he looks down at us, and then he sees and loves in us what he sees and loves in his Son. And Jesus not only intercedes for us, but he also stands before his Father and praises him, not only as the divine Son, but as the representative of man. And so it is true, as we say, that through him and with him and in him, all glory and honor is the Father's forever and ever. Think of all that. Then think of how we were created for this. As divinity is united to humanity in Jesus, our humanity was created to be united to his divinity, so that when Jesus, the man, where he has gone, we men, male and female, hope to follow. We were created to live with God in paradise, but not as soulless spirits. As Jesus is bodily in heaven, we were meant to be with him in heaven with our bodies. We profess this every Sunday when we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. But more than that, we also believe, not just in the resurrection of the body, but also in some way in the ascension of the body, our bodies. And so St. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Thessalonians, he says, we will all be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And as St. John tells us, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Think about what this means for us. The nobility of being a human being. The dignity of the human body. Of the excellence this brings to our earthly lives lived in the body that is meant to live forever in heaven. And think of how it is so contrary to our good, to the meaning of human life, to abuse our bodies or other people's bodies. And think of how this abuse offends and wounds the body of Jesus enthroned in heaven. Of course, there's the abuse of the sexuality of our bodies that is so rampant today, like contraception, sex outside of marriage, and of course, especially pornography and homosexual acts. But also think of the other ways we abuse the body, through drugs or alcohol or gluttony, or through the mutilation of healthy bodies in things like sex change procedures. But also think of how we abuse other people's bodies when we selfishly refuse to assist those who are truly in need of help in body. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. A stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and you would not visit me. Think of all that. And think of Christ's human body enthroned in heaven, where we are meant to go. Now, I've said it's fitting that Jesus be in heaven, and it is. But his being in heaven doesn't keep him from being also with us here on earth. As he promised, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we remember how he explained to his apostles at the Last Supper. He said, "It is for your good that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And so even as Jesus has bodily ascended into heaven, his Holy Spirit has descended upon us in the sacrament of baptism and dwells with us, remains with us in our hearts. But the thing is, where the Spirit of God the Father and God the Son is, there also is God the Father and God the Son. Where the Spirit is, the whole Trinity is there. So by the action of the Holy Spirit, Jesus does remain in the baptized and in the church, his body on earth. And he remains in his word, handed down from the apostles and their successors to us today by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And most sublimely, by the action of the Holy Spirit, Jesus remains with us in the most blessed sacrament of the altar, the Holy Eucharist. Just as he ascended to heaven 2,000 years ago, body, blood, soul, and divinity into heaven, at every Mass, he descends from heaven, body, blood, soul, and divinity, to the altar. And here we worship him. First and foremost, in his body sacrificed once and for all on the cross, but also we worship his risen and ascended glorious body. He comes down to earth and mysteriously he takes us up to heaven. So as the letter of the Hebrews says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us then with confidence draw near the throne of grace." At every Eucharist, we draw near the throne of heaven. As we move now more deeply into the mystery of this holy Mass, let us turn to our Lord enthroned in heaven, begging him to join our prayers, petitions, and praise to his own, and to present them to his heavenly Father. And as he descends to the altar with all his angels and saints to make us one with him in holy communion, transforming our human lives by his divine life, let us accept this heavenly gift with exultation and live the life he created us for and he calls us to still. The life lived in the world with the body and soul created for the glory of heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.